And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I'm Rick, and tonight we are going to open a bottle of the Monferrato Dolcetto. And this should be very interesting. I have never tried this before. I picked this up, of course, at the local wine stream, where I usually pick up a lot of my wine, some of the better wines. I've had some really good picks there. And tonight we're going to open this up and try it out for the first time. I have not, unlike some of the other wines that I've picked up from the wine stream or from wine store, I have never tasted this wine before. They did not do a tasting or anything. It was just one I happened to see on the shelf, and I asked Trish and the ladies about it, and they said, yeah, it's actually a very good Italian wine. So I thought I would try it. Now, normally what I do is I'll pick a bottle of wine that they're usually trying out, but some of the wines I know are between the $15 and $30 range. But I wanted to try a wine that was like under that, just like our first wine stream where we had a wine that was about a $10 wine. It's just pretty much in everybody's price point for the most part, unless you prefer a Two Buck Chuck or something like that. But for the most part, $9, $10 a bottle. And that's about what this goes for. And I thought, you know, I think I'd want to try something that's a little bit in my price point too most of the time, because I can't always afford to just go out and buy $30 wines. I just can't, and it's just not healthy for my bank account. I'll say that much. So, and I've had a lot of the Two Buck Chuck in my day for that reason. So, you know, I'm trying to keep it down a little bit so everyone can have a chance to try this out and enjoy it wherever it's available. We're going to go over that. We're going to talk about this wine a little bit. I'm going to give you a rundown of it. A couple of things. First, you can watch us in the live stream. Join us in the chat. Chi's in the chat. Hi, Chi, my beautiful wife there. And drink with me. And as long as you're not in a vehicle or in a moving vehicle, listening to this, going down the road or anything like this, you know, as long as you're in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, whatever, you can sit back and relax and drink with Rick. That's much, much safer than doing it, somewhere out in a bar or out on the road where you're going to be driving later. That's really not what this wine stream is about. Actually, what this wine stream is about trying new wines and drinking together and getting to know each other better and just having a good time. Being with friends, that's why we're on Facebook, and with my friends on Facebook, to have a chance to connect with all my friends and to catch up with them. And also, we're on YouTube. Now, our Facebook live chat is open, so you can join us in the chat. And don't be afraid to speak up and say hi. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what you're not drinking. Let me see if there's anybody in the YouTube chat, because we're on YouTube as well. It doesn't look like we have. I don't usually expect too many people in the chat on YouTube ever. I do know that we get people watching, but they just usually are not chatting on Facebook. Excuse me, on YouTube. That's usually more of a passive viewing. But that's okay. That's okay. No problem there. If you prefer to just watch and drink along with me, that's just fine. And if you're watching this later, that's fine too. That's fine too. Also, you can catch us on drinkwithrick.com. Drinkwithrick.com is my website. I'm also streaming live there, and you can go to drinkwithrick.com and catch the live stream or the wine stream live, the live stream live. And of course, I'm not doing this on Twitter just yet. We are streaming actually to out to that sort of thing, but it's not being picked up by Twitter yet because I haven't really set that all that up. But we, I'm actually streaming to Periscope, but it's I don't know if you can really pick it up on Periscope per se because I really don't have connected to Twitter right now. But one of these days, hopefully, we'll get that done. Just so much going on. I'm trying to catch up with editing some of the older episodes of this show for the podcast and getting ready for some exciting things that I want to be doing coming up in the future. And I hope you'll join me and participate in. So a lot of stuff going on with this. It's a work in progress. And of course, this is sort of a stream of consciousness type of show. I do have some show notes, but most of this is just pretty much stream of consciousness kind of thing. I do a lot of toasting because that's what this is all about as well. Toasting my friends, toasting birthdays, anniversaries. We'll be doing a lot of that stuff. Plus, I will be testing out, I know I've talked about the Veneto Wine Lover set in the past before a few times, and we've used one or two pieces of it for the wine, but we're going to test out something a little bit different tonight. This wine actually is best chilled between 60 and 64 degrees. We're going to test that out tonight. I have a wine chiller that's part of this set that I decided to finally test it out and see how it works, or if it works at all. We're going to find out. So let's talk about the wine a little bit. And Dee's join us. It's great to see you in the chat, Dee. Don't be afraid. Tell me what you're drinking. Drink along with me. Or if you're not drinking anything, that's just fine. Just join us and just say hi. Let me know how you're doing. And well, let's talk about this wine for a minute. I've got, this is what it is. This is the Monferrato Dolcetto, and this is an Italian wine. And watch me. Now, I butchered the French language many, many times in the past. Let me go ahead and try this with it. And yes, I am of Italian descent, but I don't speak Italian. If my sister Gina was in here, she would be having a laugh fest right now because I'm really terrible at this. But this is a 2017 Capitano del Paglio, and the whole thing, if, I don't know if you can see the label up close there, but it's, I'm not even going to try to read that. It is in Italian. Okay. And this is a bottle, this is produced by Cantine Povero, and that's in Italy. It is, this is a genuine Italian wine, as you can see from the dock stamp up there. It is an Italian wine. This is a red wine that that's the grape variety is a Dolcetto grape, hence Dolcetto. And well, we're going to talk about this a little bit more as we go along, and we're going to open it up. I can hardly wait to test this one, to taste this wine out. Let me get a shot of the back of this wine. This is, let's see if we can get a shot of that there. There we go. And I'll read what I can. Monferrato Dolcetto 2017 Capitano del Paglio. This is bottled by Cantine Povero in Italy. It's imported by Volio Vino in Denver, Colorado. And this is 13% alcohol by volume. Now, in this 750 milliliter bottle. Now, the interesting thing about this is I looked it up online, and online there's a little discrepancy. It says 12.5% by volume, and it says 13% by volume on the label. But the discrepancy, is that's really, really minor because, as I have been told before, many times in the past, and I've also passed along here in the wine stream, that just because it says 13% alcohol by volume doesn't necessarily mean it is 13% alcohol by volume straight across the board. It could be as the bottle, as the wine ages, as it sits in the bottle for a while, it can become considerably higher than that. This is not necessarily very accurate. This, I believe this is what they measure alcohol at the time that they bottle it. And of course, as it sits in the bottle, then it's, and it ages a little more. Supposedly the alcohol content goes up a little bit. Like I said, this is just what I've been told. I don't know. I'm going to learn more about this, though. I am curious to know more about this. So without any further ado, let me go ahead and open this bottle of wine. We're going to taste. We're going to test it out. We're going to taste it. And, there's one other thing. To go along with it, we're going to see what it pairs with as well. To find out what it pairs with, I have tonight, let me get a close-up of this. I have tonight a, I've got a steak, nice steak here. This is, it's not prime rib, it's a, forgive me, Chief, what do we have here? I had it for dinner and I can't even remember. I also have some turkey pepperoni and some crackers to clear the palate, and also some cheese. I have a little bit of Monterey Jack cheese there. And this is a, this is going to be really, really nice to taste out, to test with this wine, see how it pairs or if it pairs up with this as well. I have a pretty good idea that this is probably pairing better with pasta, and I don't have any pasta tonight, but I don't like to drink without eating something. And of course, I have my trusty bottle of water here off camera. Let's go ahead and open this. And to open it, I have, in fact, I didn't. It's right here. Thought I'd put it away, but it's right here. This is my cutter. And we're going to open this bottle of wine with my trusty cutter. There we go. And I have my, I love this thing. This is, she picked it up for me at an estate sale for $5, but I know it costs a lot more than that. It's my bottle opener, my cork screw bottle opener thing. And I've never seen this before. It's a lot of fun. And we'll pull the cork open. Oh, that's a healthy pop. And let's get the corkscrew, move this out of the way so I don't dump anything here. And there we go. Got the corkscrew out. I mean, we've got the cork out, excuse me, the corkscrew. And we're going to let this wine breathe a little bit. And to help it breathe, I have my my Veneto. This is from the Wine Lover set that I mentioned earlier. This is the Veneto. Basically, it's an aerator. It's a wine aerator. And we'll just pop it in here like this. Works really, really well. And now we're going to try. I'm not going to put it in here too tight because I'm going to be able to get it out, because we're going to try something else out here in a little bit. There we go. And we're going to pour it into my Cooper's Hawk Genuine Crystal glass from Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant in Orlando, Florida. And we're going to go ahead and pour it, and we'll see how it pours. We'll just pour a little bit in the glass, give it a little tasting first, and give it a good swirl. Swirl around. I got to be careful. I don't want to swirl it on the keyboard. And we'll give it a good swirl. And I can get the aroma from here. I don't even have to stick my nose in the glass. I can actually see if it has any legs, see if it has any tears. The tears are developing. Now, this is at room temperature. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. This is a room temperature, and that's so I can see if it has some legs. And it does. It has a few. It's actually, actually not bad. It's okay. Give it a whiff. Kind of a fruity smelling wine. And I smell, of course, I smell some cherry. Kind of flowery. And I smell a hint of violet. give it a good tasting here. Okay, now that's interesting. That is interesting. Give this another taste. Definitely taste berries. A couple of different berries in this. But it's very smooth, very smooth. I would say it's very very smooth to taste. It has some tannins, a few tannins. It's not bad. It's actually not very tannic. It's slightly tannic, I would say. It's a little tannic, but not bad. I feel some of it more toward my throat than anything else. Very. Wow, very fruity. It's a dry. It's a nice dry wine. It's not overly dry. It's not too dry that you would wind up having to. I mean, it's not too tannic, so you wind up having to dry out your mouth in a way. But it's very pleasantly dry, and boy, it goes down very smooth. For $10 wine, I'm actually kind of impressed. I didn't know what to expect from this. I really didn't. But this is actually a nice. Now I have to say that at the very, very end, some of the fruits come out a little bit more, and I want to say it's really interesting. It's a very, what's the word they use? Velvety? I think so. It kind of has a very velvety texture to it. Yeah. I like that. Well, it's very good. I'm going to have a little bit more of this. But you know what? Before I have too much more of it, let me see if we have anyone else in the chat. See Cheese there, D's there. Anyone else in the chat on YouTube? I still check YouTube just to make sure, just in case. But it looks like we have a couple of people in the chat, and it looks like it's kind of a quiet night tonight. But I tell you what, it's a nice quiet night for a good wine. And let me open this up here a little bit. There we go. We're going to test something else out here with this wine in just a few minutes. But I will say this actually is very nice. I think it does well on its own. Now, according to what I've picked up online about this wine, I believe it's supposed to go. Let me get another shot of the bottle here for just a minute. This is that's the back of the bottle, and let's see if I can get the front back up here. There we go. You know, it's actually a nice looking bottle for $10. It looks like a more expensive wine than it is. And everywhere I've checked online, I've looked around online, everywhere else I checked, it goes for about $10. I think I picked this one up at Wine Store for, I want to say it was $8.99, $9.99, something like that. But supposedly this is supposed to pair well with some fresh cheese, pasta, you know, white meat. I have a list of things here that I looked up online that was supposed to pair well with pasta with tomato sauce, fresh vegetables, things like that. But I'll be honest, I'm not really 100% sure that this one is a A real white meat wine. I'd say maybe with a turkey or something, maybe it might be okay. But I'm going to try out the fresh cheese bit. So it supposedly it's not really meant for really red meats. And I'm going to try it with this and see what happens. Just because I want to finish eating this. This was part of my dinner. And this was it was a filet mignon. That's what it was. Right, Chi? This was a filet mignon, and it tastes every bit like it. So let me see how this works. Yeah, I would say this is probably not a filet mignon wine. It's not too bad. I mean, this would not be my choice as a filet mignon wine. So I would say that, yeah, don't really pair this with a filet. It probably does go better with maybe some white meat. Let's try it with, and pasta, definitely. Let's try it with cheese. And I have the Monterey Jack here. About as fresh cheese I could find. Works much better with the cheese. Does work much better with the cheese. I'm gonna have some more of this. Yeah, I think so. I'm not even gonna bother with the turkey pepperoni. I don't think this is really a steak in red meat wine. Well, actually, turkey is a white meat, but it's this is pepperoni. You know, it's more of a spicier meat. I don't think that would work well. I'm gonna have a little bit of cracker here, clear my palate a bit. That's great filet mignon, though. She did an awesome job with that. She really did. She did that upright. Let's see. A little water here to clear the palate. Okay. All right. I think we're back even keel here. So, I think given that, I think it's really, yeah, it's probably is a white meat kind of wine. Chicken, turkey, maybe. Not really for red meats, I would say. It works okay with the cheese, but pasta, I think it probably pair up pretty well with pasta. I'd say pasta if you have a good tomato sauce and maybe might be okay with a little bit of meat in there if it's mixed in. The pasta meat with maybe a chicken parmesan or something like that would probably be fine with. Probably be good with a chicken parmesan. Meatballs, I don't know. Spaghetti meatballs, I don't know. But chicken parmesan, I think it'd be fine with. Yeah, I think it'd be good with that. I don't have any here to try it out, but I'm just guessing it's probably all right with that. I have another item here I want to test before it gets too warm because I've had it in the freezer for about 2 hours, and hopefully it'll sit for a little bit while longer before we try it out. But before we get to that, I want to start toasting some anniversaries and birthdays. Actually, mostly birthdays because I couldn't really find a good anniversary. So it was someone who had a work anniversary, and I'm not sure if that. I think that was last week. But birthdays. First of all, I want to toast my friend Nancy, who and from Daytona, who a childhood friend of ours, of mine and my sister's, my family's, and her family. We were childhood friends, and I want to toast her because she just had her birthday this past week. So, Nancy, if you're watching now or later, happy belated birthday now. It was earlier this week. And if you haven't noticed, I like toasting birthdays and anniversaries and things, because that's what you do with a good wine, right? You have a little bit more of that. Also, birthday's coming up. My niece Julia is having her birthday. I believe it's tomorrow, right? So Julia, if you're watching, or Gina, if you're watching, my sister Gina's daughter, if Gina's watching, or Julia, happy birthday to Julia. And that's for you. And I know you're quite, not quite of drinking age yet, but you can still get a birthday greeting from me. You don't have to be of drinking age to be toasted. That's for sure. We can toast anything here on the wine stream. Anything that's worth toasting, right? Another birthday, we have Joanne, who was my sister-in-law. She will always be my sister-in-law. And I want to say she's having her birthday coming up, I think, on the 30th. So I want to say happy birthday, Joanne. I hope you're doing well. Hope the family's doing well. It is an honor to be able to toast you as well. The honor is all mine for all of you having birthdays, because I am enjoying toasting your birthdays. And it's a great way to remember a birthday, right? Wine? It is. And it's a good way a day to it's a good way to share a birthday with people that you care about, your friends, family, neighbors, relatives, people that you love. And I really appreciate you. I really appreciate all of you. Let's see. I don't have any other anniversaries. However, we have some. I said, you know what? We should toast some national days. Some national days. I'm always hearing about national days, and I'm not talking about just holidays, but like National Donut Day, National I don't know, Kiss a Frog Day, or whatever, if there is such a thing. I don't know if there's a Kiss a Frog Day. I'm not celebrating that one, but. There are a lot of really, really interesting days. Like we had this past week, we had a national, what was it? Elevator Day, something like that. National Ride in Elevator Day or something like that. Yeah, that was interesting. But July, I looked it up, and there's so many national holidays. Actually, I went to nationalholidaycalendar.com, and there are a lot of them out there. And I found some that were coming up, some from today, which is almost not today anymore. It's almost going to be yesterday. But July 27th, let's see, National Love is Kind Day. That's one I can get behind. So we'll toast that. National Scotch Day. Now, of course, I'm not drinking scotch. And I think that's the scotch they're referring to. Not the Scots from Scotland, but National Scotch Day. So I could toast the Scots in Scotland too, but National Scotch Day, we'll toast to that. I'll drink to that. This is starting to get taste a little bit better as I go down. It's a little different though, because I'm starting to taste a couple of notes of something else. It's very flowery though, kind of perfumey. National Creme Brulee Day. Now, I like creme brulee, but I can't really eat it much anymore because I'm supposed to stay off the sugary stuff. Look at me drinking wine. You know that wine converts to sugar, right? So, there you go. I'm trying to stay off the processed sugars. Let me put it that way. Processed foods, processed sugars, because that stuff is very, very bad for you. National Creme Brulee Day. I can get behind that. I can drink to that. Then we have National New Jersey Day. National New Jersey Day. I've been in New Jersey. I have relatives from New Jersey. I've had to drive through New Jersey a number of times. Had to go to New Jersey a couple of times. Not my favorite state. I'm sorry, and nothing against people from New Jersey, but I tell you, that state's, I don't know. That state's something else. It's, no, I can't toast National New Jersey Day. I'm sorry. That's going to be one day I don't, that's going to be the one thing I don't toast is National New Jersey Day. Sorry. Nothing personal against people from New Jersey, but I just can't toast a day for New Jersey. They give me a National Florida Day, I'll toast that. Because that's where I'm from. And you can't hate Florida, really. Except maybe if you're down there right now in the sweltering heat in the middle of summer, I guess it's not not really a lot of fun. But I still have a love for Florida. Let's see if there's a National Florida Day. I don't see one coming up. National Day of the Cowboy. That's the fourth Saturday in July, which would be today. National Day of the Cowboy. Okay, I can get behind that. National Day. Because the cowboy is what brings us the beef to market. And I love beef. Sorry to the PETA folks, but I love beef. So I'll drink to National Day of the Cowboy. We have some coming up here. We'll get back to that. We'll do some more toasting a little bit. First, let's see who else is in the chat. Let's see what else is going on. In fact, let me take a break and go ahead to the try this thing before it gets too warm here. But what I have, and we're going to take this off for just a minute, the aerator, because we're going to try something a little bit different. And you know what? Maybe I drank too much of this bottle to really work well. But what I have here is part of the Veneto Wine Lover set. And I've been promising I was going to try this out. Let me get a closer shot of this. There we go. I have, this is the wine chiller portion of the set. And it's in two pieces. I sort of had to figure this out for myself because there weren't any instructions that came with this. But you put this piece on here, and basically there's a chiller liquid in there, and you're supposed to put it in the freezer for about an hour so it's nice and chilled. And then what you do is you take these two pieces, and then you're supposed to take out a little bit of, I guess, a half a glass of a wine out of the bottle so that it compensates for the liquid displacement, because when you put this in the bottle, it's going to displace the liquid, and you don't want it running over the bottle. But then what you do is you put it in the bottle like this, and there's still enough liquid in there for it to go. Yeah, it goes pretty far down in there. I don't know if you can see this, but it's pretty far down in the bottle. And you make sure it's in there really good. And I guess it has a built-in aerator in there of sorts. Make sure it's in there nice and tight. And then you pour out. Let me get rid of this first. Okay. So then you pour it in, or you put it in the bottle, and it's supposed to chill the wine down, and it's supposed to chill it down as you pour it into the glass. And let's see if this works. I have never tried this before. We'll see if it works. Now, the reason we're trying it on this wine is because this one in particular, this Monferrato Dolcetto, is supposed to be chilled down to about 16 to 18 degrees centigrade, which comes out to about 60 to 64 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's supposed to be chilled a little bit. I did not put it in my new wine cooler. I'm going to see if it's a little bit chilled. Now, of course, I left this out. I didn't put it in right away. I have this. You're supposed to put it in the freezer for an hour. The little wine chiller in the freezer for an hour and let it freeze. I had it in there for about 2 hours before I froze it, or, you know, to freeze it, and before I took it out. And supposedly, should be fine, but it sat out here for half an hour because I've been yakking for actually 40 minutes almost before I put it in there. So it's had plenty of time to warm back up. Now it doesn't taste, it feels just a little bit cooler. It is a little bit below room temperature. It's not chilled too much, but it's a little bit below room temperature. And I would say it probably would be, the room temperature here is about 70 degrees. Up here, maybe a little bit hotter because I've got the studio lights on. It's about 72, 74 degrees. And it does feel like it's about I don't know if it's about 10 degrees cooler, but it feels like it's about 8 degrees cooler. I'm just guessing, of course, because I am not a human thermometer, but it does feel a little cooler when I drink it. It's slightly cooler. So I would say that, we're going to leave it in there in the bottle for a few minutes, because it doesn't say that you have to. I'm looking at the wine chiller instructions on the box, because I have the box right here. And according to the wine chiller instructions, it says store chill rod and freezer for about an hour. Check. Did that for 2 hours. Attach frozen chill rod to pourer. Did that. Pour a half a glass of wine out of bottle to allow pourer to be inserted. I definitely did that. Insert wine chiller into bottle and make sure it sits snug in bottle's neck. I definitely did that. And then Veneto wine chiller keeps chilled wine cold and cools down wine to ideal drinking temperature. And step 6, enjoy wine at its perfection from your first to your very last glass. That's what it says here. Now, I did pour it right after I put it in the bottle. And to be fair, we're down to almost half the bottle. So this thing goes down to, let me see how far it goes down. It goes down, it's hard to tell, but it looks like it goes down about 2/3 of the way into the bottle. So it really hasn't had a chance to really chill the wine, because I had already taken about 1/4 of the bottle down before I even put this thing in. Well, actually about 1/3. I probably drank 1/3 of the bottle before I actually put this in. So to be fair, that really wasn't, because it really needs to sit in the entire bottle of wine to really chill it. But it does taste a little cool. It is a little cooler. Feels a little cooler. I think it does work. I really think it does work. We need to try it out. I guess what I need to do is I need to follow this to the letter next time and open a bottle of wine and try it again. When it's just a half a glass of wine, I'll just do the initial tasting, and then, which is what I intended to do tonight, was just do the initial bit to taste the wine and then put the chiller in there. And I really didn't do that. I went farther down in the bottle than I really was supposed to before I put the chiller in. So so I kind of screwed that up, but it does feel a little bit cooler. And as we'll let it sit in the bottle for a while, and see if it gets, and then we'll try it again and see if it gets even cooler. So we'll talk about other stuff, then we'll try it again and see how it works. In the meantime, let's get back to the national days, because this is kind of fun. I like toasting days. Let's see. I like toasting things. I like an excuse to toast something, to drink something. July 28th, coming up, that's tomorrow, is National Milk Chocolate Day. Okay, that sounds like fun. I used to love chocolate milk, you know, and when I was in school, when I was in high school, as a matter of fact, I used to buy a chocolate milk, you know, with my lunch. Oh, that's one reason why my diet was so terrible. I mean, I'd go to school and I'd buy the little pizzas and then have it with a chocolate milk, and then for dessert I'd have an ice cream sandwich or an ice cream bar. That was my lunch almost every day at school. Almost every day. And I guess that's I don't know. Maybe that's my problem. But I that was my diet pretty much at school. On days that I didn't take my lunch to school, and there were quite a few days when I didn't, just because I liked the pizza and I liked the chocolate milk and I really liked the ice cream sandwich. Of course, back then it was a lot cheaper. I think I don't remember what the pizza cost, but I remember the ice cream sandwich. I could buy an ice cream sandwich for 10 cents, which was pretty cool. Well, maybe that was 15 cents. I think the ice cream bar was 10 cents. And then the ice cream sandwich was like 15. In any case, it was definitely, and I knew that was a deal back then. It was I mean, what was it, back in the 70s? Okay, everything was cheaper back in the 70s, but even then I knew that was kind of a deal. So I took advantage of it every chance I got. I told you this is a stream of consciousness show. I'm rambling on. I'm going off on tangents, but that's what I do here on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. Let's see, July 28th, National Parents Day. Okay, if my kids are watching, Tia and Tommy, tomorrow is National Parents Day. Just to let you know, and we're not expecting anything special, but just to let you know. Tomorrow is National Parents Day. So here's, I will definitely drink to that. If you're a parent, or you've been a parent, or you're soon to be a parent, I'm going to drink to you. That was worth two. One for each parent. Okay. July, yes, I know there are families with one parent families, but you know what? It takes two to make a kid. Unless it's, well, we're not even going to go there, okay? But right now last I checked, it still basically takes two to make a kid. We're going to try this again, see if it's any cooler than before. It's a little cooler. I wouldn't say it's 10 degrees cooler per se, but it's cooler, definitely. All right, what we have coming up July 29th, National Lasagna Day. Now I can definitely get behind that. I can definitely toast National Lasagna Day. I love lasagna. I love a good lasagna. Now I've had some bad lasagna. I've made some bad lasagna. But I've also made some pretty good lasagna because I used to make lasagna quite a bit. Now, and I taught Chi how to make lasagna, and then she took the ball and ran with it, literally. She made the last time, as a matter of fact, I think we had it on the wine stream. I had some on the wine stream. It was 2 or 3 weeks ago. She made a lasagna, and she's really experimented with the lasagna, and there were some that turned out great, some that were not so great, but the one that she made a few weeks ago that I tried out on the wine stream a few weeks ago was just great. I mean, it was just awesome. And I tried that with the wine. I can't remember which wine that I paired that with. I think it was, I want to say it was the Domaine de Genasse or the, what was it, the Massimo, that one right there. One of the two wines, and it was it really brought out the lasagna, the flavor of the lasagna. I was really impressed with that. I really liked it. She did a fabulous job with that lasagna, and I hope she makes it again sometime soon because I love lasagna. And here's to National Lasagna Day. Maybe because tomorrow's National Lasagna Day, maybe she'll make it. If she's still watching, because I know she might have fallen asleep by now, but because I've bored her to death. But gee, if you're still watching, tomorrow is National Lasagna Day. Hint, hint. Here's to National Lasagna Day. What else do we have coming up here? Let's see. National Father-in-Law Day. Okay, I'm going to skip that one. National Whistleblower Day. Nothing against my father-in-law, but actually, you know, I never knew my father-in-law, to be honest, because my father-in-law, you know, passed away long before I met my wife. But I'll toast him. I will toast him because I've always kind of wanted a father-in-law, and it's I'll toast him. National Whistleblower Day. You know, there's and I don't want to get political at all or anything like that, but look, the whole whistleblower thing, I would say is overblown. And I'll tell you why, because we're supposed to have laws about protection for whistleblowers and things like that, but it seems like nothing has changed in that respect, because you hear stories all the time about people who were whistleblowers, took that risk, and where are they now? Well, a lot of them still didn't fare very well, even though there's a law passed supposedly about whistleblowers and not retaliating against whistleblowers. That hasn't changed anything, in my opinion. In my personal opinion, I don't think that's changed anything. Now, when I say whistleblowers, it can be whistleblowers anywhere. It can be whistleblowers, in the government. It could be whistleblowers in your job. It can be whistleblowers in your school. It could be whistleblowers in pretty much anywhere. And it seems that the people who make that. I don't want to say sacrifice, so take that risk when they see something that's wrong, that they know is wrong, that's morally or ethically wrong, and they try to, and sometimes for safety reasons that they know is wrong, and they are whistleblowers, that they try to alert the authorities, or they try to alert the powers that be, the people in charge that can do something to fix it. And occasionally it's the people that are in those positions to do something to fix it are actually the ones that are causing the problems to begin with, and that makes it worse. It seems to me that whistleblowers are basically screwed in most cases, even though there's supposed to be laws to protect them now, supposedly. It doesn't seem to have changed anything, really. They still get penalized in one way or another. So I'd like to say that for people who are whistleblowers that do it for the right reasons, who do it because they see something wrong, something that needs to be fixed. I would say definitely here's to you. I definitely want to toast you because now there are certain cases where there are, quote, whistleblowers that really aren't really doing anybody justice. But in a lot of cases, people that are trying to alert someone else to a problem, I think that, I think they're taking a risk. They are definitely risk takers, and I want to say, I want to say, here's to you, because that is a risk that can really affect your lives, your family's lives, your jobs, your reputations. Here's to you. What else do we have here? Something a little bit happier. Okay, July 31st. July 31st is National Avocado Day. And I'll drink to that. I love avocados. I love avocados. Love it. You know, actually, let me backtrack a little bit. I love avocados if they're guacamole, okay? Avocados by themselves, I'm not too crazy about. I'm not a fan of avocados per se. It's kind of like eating eggplant. I don't know who eats it. Well, okay, I know who eats eggplant. But I know a couple of people who eat eggplant that love eggplant. I do not like eggplant. In fact, when I was a kid, my mom and my dad used to make eggplant. They used to bread it. They used to slice it up and bread it and fry it. And it was always gross to me. I'm sorry, but they would take slices of eggplant in these little patties, and they bread it, and then they fried eggplant. And I thought it was just nasty. First of all, eggplant to me, if I'm eating it, you know, like just plain, it's just, I don't know, it's just slimy, and I don't like it. I can't deal with it. Can't deal with eggplant. Hate eggplant. But the fried eggplant was just not much better. It was eggplant that was just fried. You know, that just didn't change my dislike of eggplant just because it was fried. I love fried foods, but it's like putting a lipstick on a pig, you know? It's like it's still a pig. Fried eggplant. So I never cared much for eggplant. But avocados, to me, if I ate an avocado by itself, it was kind of almost like, in a way, the same sort of thing as eating eggplant. It was kind of soft and, kind of slimy. I don't know. But when you put it, when you make guacamole with it, you mix it with all the stuff and make guacamole, it completely changes the avocado. I mean, in a way, and it transforms it into something almost a work of art. I mean, you're talking about guacamole. That's almost you're mixing it with what, lime and some people make it with tomatoes and whatever else they put in there. And when she makes guacamole. Now she makes it really, really chunky. She likes her guacamole chunky. I'm not crazy about chunky. I'll eat it because I love guacamole. But I prefer it, you know, more smooth, more more unchunked. She likes it really chunky. I don't like it chunky. It's kind of like peanut butter. It's like some people love peanut butter when it's chunky. Some people love it smooth. I was never a fan of chunky peanut butter. I like smooth peanut butter. I like it smooth. I do not like chunky peanut butter, but some people love it chunky. It's the same thing with guacamole. To me, guacamole needs to be really, I don't know, guacky. That's not a word. But it needs to be like just a little more minced up, you know, so you can really, the thing is with chunky guacamole, you dip into it with a chip or something and you can break the chip because it comes up in these big chunks. If it's a lot smoother, for lack of a better word, chunky and smooth like peanut butter, if it's a little smoother, you can easily dip into it and get a hunk of guacamole on your chip and not worry about big hunks of it falling off or getting on your shirt or whatever. You know, it's I don't know. It just seems more elegant that way, you know, just with a guacamole, with smooth guacamole. And I love guacamole. I really do. And she makes a really great guacamole. It's just not, I just would wish it were not so chunky, but that's the way she prefers it. So that's how she makes it. But where was it going with that? I don't know. I need some more wine. Anyway, the guacamole, if the avocado is guacamole, I love it. If the avocado is just avocado, like chunks of avocado on a in a salad or something, I can't really get by. I can't really eat it. I can't. It has to be guacamole before I eat it. But I love it when it's guacamole. I really do. Well, and I think, let's see, what else do we have here? July 31st, National Raspberry Cake Day. Okay, you know, I forgot to toast guacamole. I'm not toasting National Avocado Day. I'm toasting National Avocado Day as guacamole. What they should have is a National Guacamole Day. National Raspberry Cake Day. Okay, I can do that. Raspberries, I like cherries, which is one reason why I like a lot of these wines, because they a lot of them have a cherry flavor to them, and I love cherries. One of my favorite fruits are cherries. And as a matter of fact, she brought home a bag of cherries today, and I washed them, and I was just eating through those things. I had to stop eating them because I was just kind of going through too many of them. You don't want to eat too many of them, but cherries, I love cherries. It's one of my favorite fruits. It's one of my favorite flavors is cherry. National Raspberry Cake Day. Now, raspberry is a little bit different from cherries. I like raspberry too, not as much as cherry. I think raspberry is a little tartar than cherry, in my opinion. But I still like raspberry. And actually, if I would put a graph between my three favorite or my four favorite berries, I would put cherries first, then blueberries. Then I would say blackberries, because I love blackberries, but can't eat them so much anymore. And then raspberries. Those are real. And there are other berries on there, too, that I can get behind. But my favorite berries are in that order. But National Raspberry Cake Day, I've never had a raspberry cake. Never. But I would love to try one. I would love to try a raspberry cake. Is there really any such a thing as raspberry cake? Is there really? I don't know. Is there really anybody in the chat? Is there really a raspberry cake? I never heard of raspberry cake. I've heard of, you know, cherry cakes. I've heard of strawberry cakes. I've heard of a lot of different kinds of cakes, but I've never heard of a raspberry cake. I would love to try one. I really would. That would be awesome. I'd be willing to try that out. So, raspberry cake. Okay, well, I'll toast it. I'll drink to that. I'll toast. This is actually starting to taste a little raspberry-ish. Yeah, this is a very berry wine, but it's actually starting to taste a little bit like, I don't know, not so much raspberry, but maybe a little bit. National Mutt Day. Does it have to do with dogs? Let me find out. National Mutt Day. I don't know. It's a day. Let me see. Oh yeah, it's for dogs. National Mutt Day. It according to the website here, it encourages us to embrace, save, and celebrate mixed breed dogs twice a year on July 31st and December 2nd. So they get 2 days. National Mutt Day gets 2 days. July 31st and December 2nd. Who gets 2 days? I don't know. Anyway, National Mutt Day is July 31st. So if you have a dog, and I love dogs. Dogs are great. Dogs are awesome. If you have a dog, National Mutt Day. If you have a purebred dog, you know, that still celebrate your dog. But if your dog is what they would call a mutt, and it sounds really derogatory. You know, mutt sounds really derogatory to dogs. But, you know, to be honest, there are a lot of what I'd call mutts, dogs, that are really, really cool dogs. They're really cool dogs. Now, my dog, or I should say Tommy's dog, Cosmo, I don't think it'd be considered a mutt. I mean, when you're saying mixed breeds, you're talking about mixed like two, three, four different breeds. You don't know what the breeds are. They're just all a bunch of mixed breeds. It's a kind of a Heinz 57 kind of dog. Cosmo is a cockapoo. Now, he's a mixed breed. He's a cockapoo, which is a combination of Cocker Spaniel and a poodle. Now, that kind of mixed breed dog has been, they've been trying to make it a purebred for a long, long time. I think they've been, lobbying the association that, that takes care of the national dog breeds. I can't think of it right offhand. I've had too much of this wine. the National Kennel Club. Thank you. I don't know who I was thinking. I just thought of it. The National Kennel Club. American Kennel Club. I'm sorry. American Kennel Club. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. American Kennel Club. American Kennel Club, the AKC, it recognizes official breeds. And there are a number of official breeds that are on there. Cockapoos are not considered an official breed. Official purebred. I guess they're still considered a mixed breed, which they are. But look, how many purebred dogs are actually purebred dogs? How many purebred dogs were actually, I don't know, hundreds, maybe a thousand, couple thousand years ago were actually mixed breeds that over time became their own breed, you know, right? Take German Shepherds, for instance, Collies, dogs like that. I think Collie is a purebred. German Shepherd is a purebred. An Irish Setter, I don't know. I don't even want to go there right now. I really don't. But let's say purebred dog. This has actually been a point of contention. Yes, I am pouring more wine. This has been a point of contention between dog lovers and the AKC for a while, as I understand, where they've been trying to get, particularly cockapoo owners, people who love cockapoos, that have been trying to get the cockapoo recognized as an official breed. But the AKC still refuses to recognize cockapoos as their own breed. Now, you know, I don't want to get in the middle of that argument. To be honest, I don't care. I tell you what, I don't think the dog cares. I don't think Cosmo, if I asked Cosmo, he wouldn't care. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't understand. He would not care. But for the owners of their beloved dogs, their beloved animals, for some of them, it means a lot. And as far as the cockapoo is concerned, it's a great dog. I love cockapoos. We all love cockapoos. And Cosmo is just an amazing dog. He is so smart. The dog is so smart. He's, as I always say to him, he's smarter than he looks. But he seems to understand a lot of what we're saying, even though, you know, I mean, he's a dog, but he seems to instinctively understands a lot of what we say when we're talking to him. And to me, I think that's pretty amazing. Dogs are awesome. They really are. So I'll tell you what, National Mutt Day. National Mutt Day, I will definitely drink to that. Definitely. And that's our national day. So I'm going to make this, you know what, if we have some weeks that are kind of slow on the birthdays and the anniversaries, I think I'm going to turn to this and start toasting national days, because there are plenty of national days I could toast. Just because I can. So anyway, Where were we? Anybody else in the chat? Let me check and see what's going on YouTube. Nothing else going on YouTube. There's some people watching, but it looks like, just nobody's really participating. That's about the way it goes on YouTube. Facebook's been a little spotty tonight. I noticed that a few times, and if you're bearing with us, I noticed that a few times the stream has stopped a few times, has cut out a few times. Fortunately, I'm recording this. I did remember to hit the record button. Now, last week, I hit the record button late. I'd forgotten. I have notes here that says, don't forget to press record. And I forgot to press record when I started, and I'd pick it up in the middle. But today, I remember to press the record button before I started the show. So this is being recorded. And if we're missing something on Facebook, maybe I can upload a full version later on that everyone can watch later. In the meantime, let's continue to enjoy this moment on the wine stream. I'm going to add another piece of this cheese because it's actually pretty good. Although it's getting a little dried out because it's been sitting under the lights. Okay. I went to the National Days. I want to talk about the wine lovers set for just a minute because we have been testing this out and it has chilled the wine down just a little bit. I can't say that it's chilled it down a lot, but it has chilled it down somewhat, and I think this is a keeper. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to try this again next week as well when it's not so far down in the bottle before I put the chiller in. But I do want to talk about the wine lover set. This is for a minute. This is, and of course, I've got most of the pieces out of here because I've used most of the pieces and I've tested them out. I took two more pieces out of this thing, but it comes with, it's like a 7 piece set, and there's space is actually inside for the whole thing. Now, what I've used and what we tried so far on the wine stream is we've tried the aerator, which is actually two pieces. The aerator is two pieces. It comes apart here. This is in two pieces. The aerator works very well. I really like this aerator. And actually, they sell this aerator separately. And I think it's like $11 separately for this two-piece set, something like that. It's available at drinkwithrick.com. It's available from Amazon.com, and you can look it up at drinkwithrick.com and purchase it if you want to purchase it. It's fine. The wine chiller portion of it, that's also in two pieces. And I'm taking it out here. I'll take it out for a minute. It's in these two pieces. It's not as cold as it was at the very beginning, which probably counts for something. But the bottle is the bottle is slightly cooler. And I did bring the bottle up here at wine temperature. It comes with, I have not tried this, because I usually use my other cutter, but it does come with a seal cutter. I don't know what they call this thing, to be honest. It comes with one of those, and we're going to try this out. Maybe next week we'll try this out and see how it works instead of the one that I traditionally use, which came with the corkscrew. And it comes with we'll have to try every one of these pieces out at some point. It comes with a stopper. This is interesting. I played around with it a little bit. And it's supposed to be a stopper where you put it in. If you haven't finished the bottle of wine, you put the stopper in and sucks the air out and then really creates a seal and stops it. Basically, traditionally what I do is I put the cork, I save the cork and I put the cork back in the wine bottle. If I haven't finished it all, like tonight, I might. Sheesh. I've gone pretty far down this bottle, I didn't realize it. But if I don't finish the bottle, I will put the cork back in the bottle and I will put it back in the fridge. And then I'll have it, you know, maybe finish it off tomorrow, like with a Sunday night dinner or something like that. I'll do that. So that's what happens when you see the wine stream. You see that I go down about halfway into the bottle and you say, well, what does he do with the rest of the wine? That's what I do. I put the cork in it. I literally put a cork in it. Yeah, I put a cork in me too, right? I put a cork in it and I put it in the fridge. Open it up on Sunday night when I'm having a Sunday dinner, and have the rest of the bottle with my Sunday dinner. I have not tried this yet, but this looks like a pretty interesting piece. We need to try this as well. I like to rinse it off first before I use it. So I'm not going to try it tonight. And then we have this. We have a corkscrew. And it has the knife. It actually serrated. That's interesting. My other one, which is it was branded Las Vegas because she picked it up when she went to Las Vegas a few years ago with her sister, my sister-in-law, for a few days, and she brought me back that as a souvenir. And it's just falling apart. It's really starting to come apart. It's because it's been used a lot. I've opened a lot of bottles of wine with it. And that one just has a straight, very sharp little cutting knife. This is duller. This is not sharp. I don't think I can really cut myself on this like this. But it's serrated. I can't get really any closer to it than that. But I don't know if you see it. But it's serrated. I don't know if this will really cut anything or not, to be honest. We'll have to try. We will definitely have to try this on a wine stream, upcoming wine stream. So I'll save that piece and we'll try it out. It is, but it looks like a traditional corkscrew piece, like what you'd find, like what a lot of garçons would have in a restaurant. They'd cut open the wine and then they'd open the bottle of wine for you in a really, really one of the finer restaurants. A lot of the restaurants I go to, they don't open the bottle, they just hand it to you. Here's a glass of wine, here's a bottle. But finer restaurants, when the waiter would actually open the bottle of wine for you, a lot of them will use something like this. And so we'll try that out and see how it works in a future wine stream. But that is pretty much the Wine Lovers kit. It's a seven-piece kit. And the seven-piece kit sold for $19.95, I think, on Amazon. And I do have links to this. If you want to purchase this Wine Lovers, and I'm not hawking this because I'm not a shill for them or anything, but I do get a few cents because I'm obviously if I have some Amazon links on there, I'm going to have an affiliate link there. That if you want to buy that, you can purchase it right from the website at drinkwithrick.com. You don't have to do that. You can just go straight to Amazon and do it. But I tell you what, I would really appreciate if you could, because to be honest, a few cents here, a few cents there would definitely help forward the wine stream, help support the wine stream, would help support my wine habit. I just spilled something there. It would definitely support the wine stream because it does cost me to do this. I'm doing this for fun, of course, but it does cost me to. It's not free. It does cost me to do this. So, if you're interested in helping to support, I would really, really appreciate your support and click on the Amazon links for the Veneto set. Also, the Wine Bible. I was going to mention the Wine Bible, which I really, really highly recommend, the Wine Bible by Kieran McNeil. It's 1,008 pages of everything about wine. I mean, she has pretty much everything on wine in that book. And there is a paperback version. There's also a Kindle version. The paperback version, I don't remember how much it costs, to be honest, because I didn't get the paperback version. I've got the Kindle version. I've got the Kindle version right here on my Kindle. The Kindle version is actually, last time I checked, it was actually free if you're an Amazon Prime member. And I'm an Amazon Prime member, so I got it for free. And it's a great book. I'm still going through it. I'm still trying to make a dent in this thing. It's 1,008 pages long. But it has just about everything about wine that you can think of. It's very, very good. From what I've seen so far, what I've read so far, it's a really, really good book. If you're interested in that, you can go to drinkwithrick.com, click on the link, and purchase your own copy of The Wine Bible by Kieran McNeil. Or you can, if you're an Amazon Prime member, get the Kindle version for free. I won't make anything off of it, but that's cool. It's as long as you're, if you like wine, as long as you're learning about wine, if you want to read it about wine, that's fine. That's good. All right. No pressure there. It's all good. And that's the Wine Bible. I think we're going to pretty much close up here soon in a few minutes. I'm starting to feel this. I'll tell you what, I've got to have a little bit more of this filet mignon. Even though it does not pair well with this wine, okay? Don't try it. Don't try this at home. I love steak, so I have to have a little bit more of that. Because I can't throw that out. No way. This wine, I think I'm going to have to cork this wine soon because I think I'm pretty far down the bottle. Those who want to see me drink the whole bottle. Yeah, I got a little bit farther down the bottle than I wanted to, than I planned to, but I tell you what, this wine is really easy to drink. I'm really surprised. I'm surprised and I'm somewhat impressed. This wine, I didn't know what to expect from this wine, but I didn't expect a whole lot. It's $10 from, once again, this is the Monferrato Dolcetto. And it's a 2017 from Cantine Povero. I'm really impressed with this wine because for $10 a bottle, I expected something. I expected something more in line with the cab that I had here. That was the collection that we tried. This was actually the very first wine. This is what started the wine stream. It was the collection. It was a wine from Target, and it was actually a Target brand wine. Target got into the premium, or quote, premium wine business. They were already doing some wines that were there, like their budget wines, or like $4 or $5 bottle of wines. And I have not tried those. Maybe one day we'll try one of those and see how those work out. But I tried this just on a lark. And I said, well, I'll stream this. I'll do this and I'll do a stream trying the wine out. Because there are a lot of people that were interested in seeing what this wine was about. A Target wine. Target branded wine. And it actually turned out to be okay. I mean, it was definitely not a wine like this. It was certainly not a wine like the Tessellet or the Domaine de Genasse or something like that, or even the Frico wine. It was It was okay. It was okay with burgers. But that's what started the wine stream in the first place. And you can go back and watch it. It's fine. It's really rough. I mean, of course, I can't say how far we've come in 20 of these wine streams. This is the 20th wine stream, but that was very, very rough because it was the first time it was the first time I'd ever done the wine stream, and it was just something I was doing for fun. And I'm still doing this for fun. That's all I'm doing for. This is just basically fun. Although, you know what? If I can get a sponsor or something, that's okay. I'm good with that. But this is really just supposed to be just for fun. And I hope you have fun watching it. If even if you're making fun of me, that's okay. As long as you're having fun. But that's what started it, the collection. And since then, we have done, you see all those bottles of wine in the back. There is one bottle missing. That would be the Finca Museum. Now I do have the box for it, but I no longer have the bottle, the empty bottle. But all along here, you can see the bottles of wine that we have actually tried. All of these on the top tier are the wines that we have actually tried on the wine stream that I've opened up, tasted, have drunk them, and reviewed them on the wine stream. 20 bottles, or this is the 20th bottle actually, and there are 19 bottles that this is going to be the 20th to go up there. With this 20th episode, we're going to reach with the 20 beginning with the 21st episode, we're going to reach another milestone, and we're going to up the game a little bit. We're going to up the ante a little bit, and I'm not going to tell you what it is right now, but we're going to next week. You'll have to tune in next week to see it, to be a part of it. But this is the 20th wine stream. And then the 21st wine stream, it's going to change the game a little bit. We're going to have a few different things going on. It'll be much the same as this, to be honest. I mean, nothing drastic. But and in fact, if you watch the first wine stream going up the line to this one, you will have noticed the transition, the slow transition to where we are now. From where we began. Where we began was something very, very basic. And now we've become, this has become a little bit more involved, a little more, a little flashier, a little bit more sophisticated. I don't know, sophisticated. I can't even say the word. Look at this, I've had too much of this. I'm really having a great time doing this. And I'm glad that you are, those of you here watching this are part of it with me. And I'm going to continue doing this as long as it's fun to do. When it's no longer fun, I'm going to stop. But for right now, I'm having a great, excuse me, this wine. I'm having a great time, and I'm going to continue to do this. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it takes us. Maybe it won't go anywhere. Then again, who knows? Maybe in a year or so that we'll be still be doing this, and we'll be looking back at these first episodes, and we'll think, "Oh, wow, that's how it all started." So, in any case, one of the things that I'm planning to do is to do something special if we get that far, because it's still 2 months away, is to do something special for National Podcast Day. National Podcast Day is the last, it's I think it's September 30th, and last Monday of the month. And I'm going to do a special. I'm teasing it right now, okay? But we're going to do a special event for National Podcast Day. And as you know, I've been a longtime podcaster. I've been podcasting for over 13 years. And I participate in a lot of these things. We have Podcast Movement coming up in Orlando in August. And I can't make that one because we already did Podfest back in March in Orlando also. We couldn't make it this year, but for National Podcast Day, which is coming up in September 30th, we're going to do something very special. I've got some things planning. It should be a lot of fun for everybody. And Tim, by the way, Tim's joined us in the chat. Tim, it's great to see you. I want to say it's great to see you in the chat. I hope you're having a good weekend and that you're drinking right along with me. And to be honest, look, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I told myself I wouldn't go farther down than half the bottle. But as you can see, I don't know if you can see in these lights, in the studio lights, but I am two-thirds of the way down this bottle. Yeah, two-thirds of the way down the bottle. This, I tell you what, we're drinking the Monferrato Dolcetto. It's an Italian wine. These are from Dolcetto grapes and from Italy. And this has been such an easy wine to drink. I didn't realize that I got that far down the bottle until just now when Tim showed up. Tim says, hi, Rick. Hi, Tim. You know, I tell you what, Tim, it's great to see you. Tim has, I worked with Tim at WFL years ago. I have a lot of stories. I think I've already told you a few of the stories from my early days at WFL at Channel 35 in Orlando. And some of the best days, I'll have to say that was just one of the best times of my life, was working at Channel 35 and working with so many awesome people. Tim was one of them. It was really more family than anything else. Still family. And I miss Tim, and I miss all these guys there at Channel 35. Just an awesome, awesome crew. And I want to say that I am honored. I will always be honored to have been part of that crew at Channel 35. It was just a great time, and great people. Anyway, where was I? Lost the train of thought. Like I said, this is a stream of consciousness show, so that's what we do here. Monferrato Dolcetto 2017. And these grapes from Italy. This is surprising. I was surprised with this. I really didn't know what to expect. I purchased this at Wine Store in Blakeney, North Carolina. And I do frequent the wine store there. Trish actually recommended this wine. She actually said this was actually a pretty good wine to try that was under the $10 mark. And I'll have to say that, Trish, you made a great call on that. And the ladies at the wine store always seem to do that. They know their wines, for one thing, and they always take really good care of me. I mean, every time I go in there, I usually go in there Thursdays, and they do their Thursday tastings, which is a lot of fun. And they're just great people. They really are. And I want to say that this was actually a good choice because I saw it on the shelf. This was not one of the wines that I tasted. I tasted some other wines that I really would like to try, but they were a little pricier for what I usually like to throw up on the wine stream. And throw up's not a good word, is it? Put up on the wine stream. Didn't mean that way. But Trish and the ladies there, I saw this sitting on the shelf, and I said, what about this? And she says, oh, this is actually a pretty good Italian wine. You should try it. So I did. I purchased a bottle. It was I think I paid $8.99 for it. This goes now, unlike a lot of the wines there at the wine store, which sell for about between 30% and half off what you would normally get, like some of these, like the Domaine de Genasse and some of those other wines, those were like, that was like a $40 bottle of wine, and I picked it up for about half of that. This one was pretty much in line for what they're selling for online. Yeah, Tim says that was television was fun. Absolutely, Tim. Absolutely. I tell you what, that was not really a job. That was just, that was a lot of fun. I went there every day. I looked forward to going there to Channel 35 every day, just because I looked forward to the people I worked with, to whatever was going to, I mean, there were always like tense days. There were always like days when there was a lot going on and things like that, but it was always fun. I don't think there was ever really a bad day there. It was just a great experience all the way around. Yeah, thank you, Tim. And you know, where was I going with this? Oh, I was going to say that I tried this wine. $10 a bottle is pretty much consistent across the board. But you can actually pick this up at wine. What is it? Wine store dash. I can't remember. It's a wine store. Let me look it up real quick because I don't actually have it up on my browser. Winestore-online.com. That's what it is. And yeah, I guess I have had a little bit too much of this. Tim, I'm sure you're probably laughing at me right now, but we've had some good times there too with some. Anyway, I'm not going to go there right now. But it was winestore-online.com is where you can pick this up for $8.99 a bottle, I think is what they have it for. I think it's $8.99 a bottle. That's what I paid for mine, I think. But it's consistently goes for about $10 a bottle. It really does. I've looked it on Vivino. I don't think Vivino carries it. I think there are a couple of other places that do carry it. But I would say that this, in my final review on this wine, I would say it is definitely a wine to try. If you like Italian wines, as I do, and if you like, I think this works well with pasta. Not with filet mignon. Like I said, this was great filet mignon. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it pairs as well with red meats. I think it pairs well with maybe something like a chicken or a chicken parmesan. I think it pairs really well with pastas, with tomato sauce, and maybe some white meats in there. It goes well with cheese. It does. And we tested that. It goes well with cheese. Now, I had a what I have here. I had a Monterey Jack here, but I think it would also go equally well with a mozzarella. I think it would probably go well with a provolone. It would go well with quite a few cheeses. I think this is a good cheese wine to pair with. I think it would also go well with, maybe an appetizer. And I think it goes well on its own. This is actually a pretty good wine that you can drink on its own. I can say that about some wines. There are some wines that I say that you can drink by themselves, and then there are other wines that I say, well, you really need to pair it with something because you don't really want to drink that by itself, especially if it's something that is really, really tannic or if it's really acidic. So you want to really pair that with a food that fits that type of wine. But overall, I really, really do recommend this wine. I like it. The Monferrato Dolcetto. And this was a 2017 vintage. So I think that's about it for our wine stream. I think it's time to close it up. But I want to say, I want to thank everybody who joined us this evening. I want to thank, you know, of course, my wife, she's been in the chat. I don't know if she's still awake. Dee, it's great to see you. Tim, it's great to see you. Everyone else who's joined us, and everyone else is going to watch it later, because I know a lot of people, I go back later and look that a lot of people watch the wine stream afterwards, after the fact. But I want to thank you all. You're my friends. I do appreciate it. I appreciate all of you. Thanks for staying with me to drink with me. And I hope you join me next week. Next week, I'm not really sure what we're going to do. We have a couple of choices. The Hecula might be a good choice. We'll see what happens. In any case, I want to thank you all for joining me tonight for this wine stream. And join me next week when we can all get together on the Saturday Night Wine Stream and drink with Rick. Good night.